It's my pleasure now to invite our brother Ian McFarlane forward to give us the words of exhortation.
Brother Peter, good morning, brothers and sisters. I bring with us the loving greetings of your brothers and sisters back at the Book Road Ecclesia. If someone was to ask you, what would you really like? What would you like? What do you really want? And I'll give it to you. How would you respond to that question? I'll give you a few seconds just to think about that. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Well, brothers and sisters, what's the first thing that came to your mind? What's the first desire or request that you would like? Now, how would you respond if, say, the Heavenly Father asked you that same question? Or the Lord Jesus Christ asked you that question? Because the major difference now is, unlike man who could ask you that question, God and the Lord Jesus Christ could actually give you what you ask. It could really be done. Well, in your mind, did you ask for, say, financial help? What about eternal life? I want eternal life. Something else. To be cured of an ailment. To be no longer burdened by sin. Are these the things that we should ask for, brothers and sisters, when we're given that question? Well, there's a question that was given by God, or the Elohim, the angel, in the night, in a dream, in Gibeon, to Solomon. And that's what we read about this morning. It was an open-ended question that was given to Solomon. He could have asked for anything. There is no qualifier on the question. God says to Solomon, ask what I shall give thee. It's an incredible question when you think about it, but it's also a really incredible answer that Solomon gave to the question, as we'll see in a minute. Solomon was given one of those, what do you really want questions? And he was given it from God, who could actually make it happen. Now, brothers and sisters, we can learn a lot from this exchange between God and Solomon. How did Solomon answer that question? Why was the Lord pleased with his answer? And how can this help us in our communication with the Lord? You know, there's lots of questions, brothers and sisters, that are asked in the Bible. Many by our Heavenly Father, many by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, questions that are given. But they're very rare when they're open-ended questions. In fact, so rare are open-ended questions given by God or the Lord Jesus Christ that we only know, to our knowledge, of two other times in the whole of the Scriptures where open-ended questions are given. Well, let's first consider how Solomon answered the question and why it was the right answer. If we go back to 2 Chronicles 1 and verse 7, we see in the record, we see that in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Verse 9. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. And then verse 10. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? Now we notice, brothers and sisters, the wonderful features of Solomon's answer. He makes it very clear that everything that he had came from God. and that wisdom and knowledge was not for his benefit, but that he might use it for the Lord's glory, that he might judge God's people, and that he might judge them wisely. It was the right answer, brothers and sisters, because it was for the right purpose. Many years earlier, actually, in the exact same place where Solomon is having this dream in Gibeon, David also does a very interesting thing in this exact same place. He also asks an open-ended question. And that's found in 2 Samuel 21 and verse 1. This is in relation to the Gibeonites, the people that actually lived in that particular town. And in 2 Samuel 21 and 1, here's an open-ended question, not given by God, not given, of course, by the Lord Jesus Christ, but actually given by David. And so David says in 2 Samuel 21, verse 1, "Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, 'It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites.' And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them," now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. "And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Verse 3, "Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, 'What shall I do for you?'" There's the open-ended question. "'And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord?'" Now it's interesting, because the answer that was given by the Gibeonites was the right answer, because they didn't ask for silver or gold. So he says to the Gibeonites, "What would you have me do for you?" And they didn't say, "Okay, we'll give us silver and gold." They knew that wasn't right. They didn't ask for that. They understood the principle of the atonement, that restitution needed to be made for the wickedness of Saul, because Saul broke an oath that was made 500 years previous by Joshua. You remember that time when they came to them under, they made themselves look old, and they snuck in, and they said, "We came from a far country," and they fooled Israel. And Joshua, nonetheless, he stood by his word, and he said, "You'll be hewers of wood and drawers of water," and they could live amongst the children of Israel. Well, Saul thought, "Well, I'm going to correct that, and I'm going to kill these people." But what we find here is that, as a result, the Gibeonites said, "Give us 7 of Saul's wicked boys and put them to death." That seems very harsh. But, brothers and sisters, it was the right answer. Why? Because it was for the right purpose. We're not left in any doubt as to why. And after that, the plague stopped. The what was troubling Israel stopped, because David answered, asked God, and God gave him the answer, and the Gibeonites gave the correct response. And we're not left in any doubt as to why Solomon's answer was the right one, because the Lord tells us back in 2 Chronicles 1 verse 11, it was an answer from his heart. He said, God, who can look into the heart, said, "This was actually in your heart, Solomon. I saw it in your heart." And then God gives a list of all the things that Solomon could have asked for. "Solomon, you could have asked for riches. You could have asked for wealth. You could have asked for honor, life of your enemies. You could have asked for long life." And by the way, many of these things God actually gives him. But the reason it was the right answer, brothers and sisters, was it was before the right purpose. So we read in 2 Chronicles 1 verse 12, "And God said to Solomon, 'Because this was in thine heart, thou hast not asked riches and wealth or honor or the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king.'" Solomon, you had me. You had me and my people in mind. Your petition was for the benefit of others. What an example to us, brothers and sisters, that our prayers need to be about furthering God's purpose. What can we do in his service? What can we pray about that can be used in his service? What is the spiritual purpose behind our requests that we make? How will what we ask for further the truth, for example? In every aspect of our Lord's life, he was all about his Father's work. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ was all about was his Father's work. Never for himself. That's why the Lord says, "Not my will, but thine be done." And that's why it's so powerful, brothers and sisters, when we partake of the bread and the wine, that it's speaking to us about the subjection of will and thinking about God's will and God's purpose. And it's critical, brothers and sisters, that we get this right. In fact, it's so critical in James 4, verse 3, the brothers and sisters in the time when James was writing, they were praying and they were asking, but they weren't asking for the right purpose. He says in James 4, verse 3, you ask, but you don't receive, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. So whatever the brothers and sisters were asking for, they weren't getting an answer. They were getting frustrated, but they weren't asking for the right reason, because it was for the wrong purpose. That's a real warning to us, brothers and sisters, when we ask for things in prayer, what is the purpose of which we're asking? Is it for us? Or will it ultimately bring glory to our Heavenly Father? If Solomon, for example, was to ask for eternal life, it actually would have been the wrong thing to ask for. How do we know that? Well, we know that because long life is contingent on how we live. Certainly eternal life is. Look at verse 14 of 1 Kings chapter 3. In 1 Kings 3 verse 14, God says to Solomon, and he gives him conditions. He says, if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. So if Solomon had asked for eternal life with that open-ended question, it would have been the wrong one. Because God says, no, that's contingent on how you live your life. That's contingent on, do you follow my commandments or not? And then God says to Solomon, then I will lengthen thy days. Now the other two places, brothers and sisters, where we find an open-ended question that's actually asked by our Lord and Savior is we actually find it in our readings from yesterday, Matthew 20 and verse 20. And in this particular case, this is an open-ended question asked by the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in verse 20 of Matthew 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, in thy kingdom. So the Lord gives her an open-ended question. What would you like? What wilt thou? And we know that what she asked for was the wrong answer. Because to what spiritual purpose was her request? She wanted her boys to sit on his right hand and on his left in the kingdom. What's the spiritual purpose of that request? How would that further God's purpose? It might have furthered Zebedee's. It might have furthered his wife's. It might have been to a great benefit to James and John. But how ultimately did that further God's purpose? And so in verse 23, Jesus responds. He says, to sit on my right hand and on my left, it's not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. So when we ask, brothers and sisters, in our prayers, we need to keep in mind, what is the purpose of my prayer? And does it give glory to God and his Son? Well, the third and final example of an open-ended question asked either by God or the Lord, actually, it's interesting, it's also contained in Matthew chapter 20. Because we go down to verse 29 of Matthew 20, and we see another open-ended question, the second one that our Lord asks. And they departed from Jericho, and a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, because they would not hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still, and he called them and said, and here's the open-ended question, "What will you that I shall do unto you?" What would you like? Now, brothers and sisters, you ever thought about that? The men were obviously blind. Jesus knew that. They're blind. And he says to them, "What would you like?" They could have anything. They could have asked for anything to that type of a question. Because we know that, you know, if you ask for wisdom and all, it's not dependent on their sight, for example. It has nothing to do with that. Well, what was their answer? Verse 33, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." Now, we would suggest, brothers and sisters, that this was the right answer because it was actually had a spiritual component to it. The record in Mark, that's the cross-reference of the same occasion where actually one blind man is mentioned at that one, it's Mark 10 and verse 52, and it says, "And Jesus said, Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." And Matthew says, "And they followed him." So brothers and sisters, not only was sight granted, but their faith, wisdom, and understanding made them want to follow Jesus in the way. It was the right answer to the question. And they ended up following Jesus in the way. Well, brothers and sisters, we follow the Lord in the same way, don't we? We believe Jesus was the ultimate example of wisdom and understanding, and that he suffered on the tree and was resurrected by his Father to sit on God's right hand, that we might have forgiveness of our sins. And what we learn from Solomon is to ask God for things that will give him glory. Something that will benefit others and not ourselves. We have a God, brothers and sisters, that hears our prayers and he answers our prayers when we ask for the right purpose. And if we keep that in mind, it makes our prayers powerful. In 1 John 5 and at verse 14, and we'll conclude with these words, we read, "And this is the confidence, brothers and sisters, that we have in him. That if we ask anything, if we give the right answer, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Our requests, brothers and sisters, are right when they are for the right purpose." And John says, "And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him."